the Ohio School of the Air.
Men Who Made America.
Stories of action, of achievement, of men and women who have contributed to the building of the nation.
Galahad sought the Holy Grail.
Ponce de Leon sought the Fountain of Youth.
Harry Steenbach sought the secret of growth and found it in the magic of the sun.
Harry Steenbach found the sun, trapped it, bottled it, canned it, wrapped it in cellophane and put it on the grocer's shelf. Sober, plodding, painfully accurate, Harry Steenbach spent 16 years in his search. 16 years packed with 1,000 bitter defeats, with heart-rending, spirit-breaking, thankless defeats. But he never surrendered. And when the search was over, Steenbach had found the process of irradiation. And he turned down $1 million to give it to the world. In 1908, the University of Wisconsin Dr. Babcock has proved beyond all doubt that the life of the animal kingdom depended on a mysterious substance, X, present in some foods, oddly lacking in others. Today, we know this X as vitamins. But back in 1908, in the smoky, evil-smelling little laboratory at the University of Wisconsin, Babcock and his studious assistant could only guess.
Corn, wheat, oats, and a mixture of three. That's right, isn't it, Hart?
Yes, that's right, Dr. Babcock. 16 heifers, four on each type of food. The ones that got the corn, wheat, oat mixture were the control group. They're the ones that should have the best calves, unless farmers have been wrong for 1,000 years.
And were they the best?
Wait, we'll take them in order.
All right. The corn-fed ones, then. They got...
Corn, fodder, cornmeal, corn gluten, and salt, of course, as did the other three groups.
And their calves?
Finest of the lot. Weighed from 67 to 85 pounds. Strong, vigorous, perfect in every way.
The wheat-fed heifers, how do they do?
Prematurely born. Weak. Not a one lived.
Ah, now we're getting somewhere.
Well, is it a poison something in the wheat?
Or a lack of something corn has? And the oat-fed group?
Fair. Only fair.
Good, Hart. That's fine. I expected that. And the mixture of your control cows, they'd be the best?
Well, there's where you're wrong, Dr. Babcock. They were second rate, decidedly.
Only fair, eh?
That's right.
Then variety isn't the answer.
No. And monotony of diet is no handicap to growth. Well, I witnessed the corn-fed ones.
So where are we?
Where are we? We're at the threshold of a new science, the science of growth. You're going to prove that there is something new under the sun.
And what'll we do next?
Do? Why, keep after it. You come to the borderline of a new undiscovered country. Break a trail through. Make your experiment like life itself.
Like life itself?
I'll get you some help. There's a young Yale chemist named McCollum. And a lad from Wisconsin has got the divine curiosity which every scientist needs. A young chap by the name of Steenbach. Harry Steenbach. Steenbach, what I told Hart 3 years ago when I thought of hiring you for this job?
No, sir.
I told him to make this experiment like life itself.
But we have, sir.
I know. And in 3 years, what have you learned?
Pitifully little. We repeated the experiment Hart did. Again, the corn-fed cows had healthy calves, the others didn't. Their calves died. Then we switched. The wheat-fed cows were about on their last legs. We put them on corn, and they immediately perked up. The ones that had been thriving on corn went downhill on wheat until they were skin and bones.
How many in the herd now after 3 years?
11. All corn-fed animals.
And you haven't learned anything? Why, my boy, you've learned more than mankind has learned in 1,000 years by the rule of thumb. You've made monkeys out of those German professors who thought of cattle as milk and beef factories. Give them so much protein, so much fat, mineral, starch, and presto. Why, it's changed into roast beef or butter fat. They're dead wrong. You can stuff an animal with a diet of protein, mineral, and starch. And the correct proportions, mind you, stuff him till it's running out of his ears. And still he'll die. Starve to death. Die of a hidden hunger with a full belly. And all because he hasn't got that mysterious X. That's the secret of life and growth. Find X. You've carved a niche for yourself in the Hall of Fame, my boy.
You know, X is like an elusive criminal. We know where he is, but we can't put our finger on him because we don't know what he looks like. I know, it sounds silly, but that's the way it is. McCollum has found it's in butter. Osborne proved cod liver oil has it. But then the Norsemen have always dosed themselves on cod liver oil during the long, dark winter. But I don't seem to have found out anything.
You will, Harry. You're the kind that does. Stay with it. Well, no use asking you to go to the ball game with me, I suppose.
I'm afraid not, Dr. Babcock. I've got a test to check on.
Then I'll stop in after the game.
Well, I won't know anything more. I'm just rechecking. You talk as though I ought to find X by the time you get back.
No, Harry. Though someday it'll happen, maybe, just like that. Or you may spend the rest of your life looking for it. May never find it. But if you do find it, remember this. Your talent, your genius for taking pains, your thirst for the unknown, they are not your gifts. You'll have chances to sell out. You know that. Every scientist does. But what you find, if you find it, doesn't belong to you. It belongs to all mankind.
I know, Dr. Babcock. I'll remember.
Sure, sure you will. By the way, remember who's pitching today?
Well,
that's right, that's right. I forgot. Of course, you wouldn't. Well, goodbye, Harry.
X into a test tube, Harry?
Yeah, this is the 20th time I've done this. Results are always the same.
You mean you've done the same experiment 20 times?
Mm-hmm.
And you got the same result every time?
Mm-hmm.
Well, didn't you change any of the conditions?
No, of course not.
Well, what in the name of heaven are you trying to find?
I'm not trying to find anything. I just want to be sure I'm right. I don't think I am.
And why not? You said you got the same results every time.
Yes, I know. But I don't think it's right because that's exactly what it should do according to this article.
Let's see it. Well, Harry, Funk proves it right here.
You can't prove anything on paper. I don't take Funk's word for it or anybody else's. I'm going to try it again.
Harry Steenbach fumbled and fussed in his laboratory. Night and day he worked, progressing with imperceptible slowness because he would accept no fact that he had not proved and reproved for himself. By now, 1913, the entire scientific world was on the trail of the elusive X. But Steenbach had a way of putting his finger on the weakness of every theory advanced. If it was another theory, well, it was too bad. This was science. If it was his own, he gleefully tore it to shreds and started all over again. None of the theories were airtight, and nothing less would satisfy Steenbach. Meanwhile, with his fellow worker Hart, he conducted an experiment that told him the whole story. But neither he nor Hart was able to read it then.
Hey, look, Harry. Success. I got a goat. Found it in my backyard this morning.
Healthy looking.
Is that all you've got to say for my initiative? You were desolate last night because the animal husbandry department wouldn't give us a cow for this new experiment of yours. Heaven sends us a goat, which will do just as well. And do I get a vote of thanks?
I do not.
I'm sorry, Hart. I was too busy trying not to breathe. She smells terrible. Yeah, we'll use her, but take her out now.
Well, where shall I put her? In that big stall?
Oh, there's a big box back there. Fix it up and put her in there. She'll just fit.
Now, wait a minute, Harry. I realize that science must go on and all that, but is it necessary to keep her cooped up like that?
Hart, when we start putting her on this special diet, I want to know every move she makes. Now, look, here's what she gets. Straw, dried mash, and the other things I've written down here. That diet should support her. There's enough volume, enough protein, mineral, and all that. But it won't.
Well, looks all right to me. Why won't it?
Because it doesn't contain any X. All those feeds are chemically pure. On paper, it's all she needs. If she isn't dead in 3 months... Wait, is she okay now?
Oh, sure.
We've got to be absolutely sure. Let's have that stethoscope.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. When the experiment's over, I don't want anybody saying, maybe she was sick in the first place. Now, let's see. Hey, where's your heart, Nanny, dude?
Seems incredible that she'll starve to death eating all that.
She can eat her head off and she'll starve. Starve to death with a hidden hunger. Oh, here it is.
Normal, all right.
Yep. Heart sounds normal now. What'll it be in 3 months? What did I tell you 3 months ago?
Bad?
Just like she looks. Nearly dead.
Mm. She hasn't been able to live on that diet, just as you said. Well, what'll we do now?
Nothing. We don't know any more than we did, except that this food lacks X. I'll turn it out in the pasture. But keep her under observation for 2 weeks. Keep track of those heartbeats. Count them for a minute. Report every day. All right, Nanny. Out you go.
Well, Harry, there's our goat. Back to normal in just 2 weeks. Does that prove anything?
I suppose so. But Mother Nature's a better goat doctor than we are. And probably a lot more I haven't the brains to read. Look, Hart, put her back on exactly the same ration she had before. Don't change a thing. We'll do it 3 times. If it happens the same each time, we'll know we're right. And just to be sure, let's have that stethoscope again.
But something had happened under the June Wisconsin sun. The goat ate the rations that had previously been her downfall, but this time she thrived on them. For months, she ate the dry, ill-nourishing fare, but still, she thrived. Steenbach and Hart failed to realize that the life-giving sun had shone on the goat and on the grass she'd eat. And this had built up a resistance that held over, that enabled the goat to thrive on the diet that had nearly killed it months before. Steenbach and Hart recorded the experiment, even published it, but they completely overlooked the answer, that the elusive X was right before their eyes in the magic of the sun. Steenbach plodded on puttering in his laboratory, using rats, guinea pigs, in his search for the secret of growth. But then came another need, a crying need. The world had gone mad. 2/3 of the earth was at war. Millions of men were killing each other. And a civilian population back of the lines was starving itself to feed its army.
Dr. Babcock's here and says if you aren't busy,
he'd... Of course. Have him come in. And Miss Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Call the physics department at the medical college and see if you can get us an ultraviolet lamp.
Ultraviolet lamp?
Yes. Yes, a sun lamp.
Sun lamp? Well, what in time are you going to do with an ultraviolet light?
Well, Hulchinski in Germany says he's been curing rickets with it.
What of it? Rolier's been doing that for years over in Switzerland.
Yes, but that was out in the open sunshine. Hulchinski's doing it indoors with artificial sunshine.
Now, look here, Steenbach. You're looking bad. You're run down. Take a rest. This'll wait.
Wait? With half the world undernourished? Starving with his hidden hunger? Millions of war babies all over the world suffering, dying from these bone diseases, just like those little calves that we murdered for science when we first started this experiment. It's not right that they should suffer for our war.
I know, Harry, but a dead scientist would be of very little help to them.
I'm all right. But did you ever see a child in the advanced stages of rickets? So weak and bent and broken that he can scarcely even lie still? There are thousands of those cases all over the world. They can't wait. Miss Johnson, order another 500 rats.
So Steenbach tried, experimented, went up blind alleys and started again. Not once, but 100 times. Companies, battalions, regiments of rats gave their brief little lives to science. He was on the track now, but still the answer eluded him.
So you see, Hart, Hulchinski's right so far as he goes.
Of course sunlight cures rickets, and cod liver oil puts lime in the bones and prevents rickets. But there are a lot of unanswerable questions still. Is the X in oil the same as sunlight? Or is it sunlight in another form? And why does boiling and aerating oil make it useless?
And light isn't a food, or is it?
That's it, Hart. That's where we're getting away from what we started looking for. The unknown something that makes some foods protective, preventive. Something that we can add, maybe, or seal in foods to make them protective. Light's not the answer. But somewhere, if we could read, there's our clue.
Have you seen what this Englishwoman Hume has done?
No, what?
Well, look. She claims that she's promoted growth in rats just by raying their cells with ultraviolet lamps.
What? Where's that?
Here.
Why? Well, that makes everything topsy-turvy. Oh, but that doesn't mean that we mustn't look into it.
Oh, you don't take her seriously, do you?
We can't afford to overlook any bets. We'll have to check her work.
But do you think it's possible that this growth material is something that can just be suspended in the air like that?
I don't know. It doesn't look sensible. Yet, the rat did grow.
Couldn't there be any other reason for the growth?
What does her report say?
Well, when she blew the air that had been rayed out of the cell with a bellows, the rat stopped growing.
Wait, look, Hart. She doesn't say whether or not she left the shavings in the bottom of the cells when she rayed them.
But what difference does that make?
Now, look, you know how these rats have a habit of licking their feet.
I still don't see.
Well, why couldn't it be possible? Oh, I know this sounds fantastic. But why couldn't it be possible that the light added something to those shavings and bits of food that were left in the bottom of those cells when they were rayed?
But what could just light add to them?
What does light add to the baby's bodies when they're rayed for rickets?
But the rats weren't in the cells when the lamp was used.
No, but bits of food and shavings and all that were. Whatever the sun lamp left in the cage, the rats picked up on their feet. And you know how rats lick their paws. That's how they caught growth. Got the X into their system. Hart, I'm going to try something.
I'm with you. What's it going to be?
I'm going to do the craziest thing we've done yet. Black?
Yes, sir?
How are we fixed for rats?
We've got a dozen about 2 weeks old.
Fine. Get them into brand new cages. Give them standard diet number 3. You know, hog millet, casein, and mineral salt.
Yes, sir.
That's the one that has just enough vitamin for life but allows no growth, isn't it?
That's right. Only black.
Yes, sir?
Bring the hog millet to me.
Now, sir?
Yes, now.
Yeah, but what are you going to do?
I'll show you. Here, help me roll the sun lamp over here.
All right.
Here, Mr. Steenbuck.
Good. Now, bring it over here. Spread it out on this tray.
I swear I don't get this at all.
Don't you? Well, we know now that the sun plays some part in all this, don't we?
Yes, yes.
And that the quartz lamp is a pretty good substitute for the sun.
Yes, that's right.
Well, now, in the case that Miss or Mrs. Hume reports, the cells were rayed. Then even the air was expelled. Yet something the sun did made those rats grow. All that could have been left in the cages would be bits of food, shavings, and the like. Somehow, the sun must have endowed those leavings with the life-giving X that we've been looking for. We know hog millet hasn't a trace of our unknown X. Let's see if we can make the sun magically give it what nature denied it when it was growing. If we can.
If you can, you'll have the answer.
If I can. Turn the lamp on, Black. No, about 2 feet away. I don't want to burn it. Let's see. We'll try it for about 10 minutes. Looks silly, doesn't it? Light can't work any such magic. Or can it? Or are these millions of little rays, microscopically feet short, bombarding that inert grain like a machine gun magnified a billion times? Inside of an atom that was being bombarded by all the solar forces.
I feel as an astronomer must feel when he's watched a new planet being born.
Well, of course, it's too early to know. In 2 weeks, 3, 4, 5... 6 weeks to the day, and look at them.
Oh, every one of them, too.
Why, they're livelier even than those in the control group. They had a perfect diet.
Can you beat that?
Yeah, and they weigh 3 times what they did, and a third more than the controls.
You've got it, Harry.
You can't see it, you can't feel it, nor weigh it. It's completely intangible. And yet, somewhere in those inert grains of millet, the magic of the sun has implanted what nature left out. That life-giving spark that'll keep rats or babies well, and make soft bones hard and bring sick babies back to health. It was in the sun all the time, and it took me 16 years to find it.
It's been in the sun since time began, Harry. You found in 16 short years what scientists have been passing up for 1,000. What are you going to do now?
Do? Oh, yes. Black, I want samples of every kind of food, everything, all kinds of grains and flour and milk, trays of them. If it'll take on one grain, it'll take on another. We'll bombard them with sunlight, impregnate them with health and growth. Boys, the job's just started now. We've got years of work ahead of us, but we know where we're going.
Hey, where are you going?
Me? Oh, I thought I'd get Dr. Babcock and go to a ball game.
So Steenbach trapped the life-giving powers of the sun by raying food with ultraviolet rays, adding to inert food the potent elusive X, which we know as vitamin D. He called his method irradiation. Here was a method that was both cheap and practical. And now Steenbach faced the test which his old teacher, Dr. Babcock, had told him.
Come in.
Say, you said I'd find Dr. Steenbach here.
I'm Steenbach. What can I do for you?
How do you do, Dr. Steenbach? It's an honor to meet you. My card.
Oh, how do you do, sir? Serial company. So you represent this serial concern?
That's right.
Is there anything I can do for you?
Yes, Dr. Steenbach, there is. We understand you have developed a process for putting bone-building vitamins into ordinary foods.
Well, that's right. Of course, we have many experiments still to do.
Of course, of course. I hope I'm not too premature. But you know how it is in business?
Well, of course.
May I ask, Dr. Steenbach, do you have your process patented yet?
Well, no, not yet. As a matter of fact, I've asked the university to patent it, but they haven't made up their minds about it yet.
Hmm. I wonder if you know, Dr. Steenbach, that there's been some talk in medical circles that oatmeal is being regarded as a cause of malnutrition, rickets.
Oh, but that's absurd. Rickets are caused by the absence of something, not by the presence of anything.
You and I know that, but there are many who don't. To make a long story short, my firm wants your process to counteract that impression.
My process for oatmeal?
Exactly. What do you call the process, by the way?
Irradiation.
Irradiation? Hmm. That'll sound fine. Irradiated oats.
Well, of course, it would improve the food value of your product.
Now, I am authorized to make you an offer for the process for exclusive rights.
Exclusive rights?
Of course.
Well, then I'm afraid I couldn't consider it.
I'll wait until you hear it. We'll pay more than any other concern.
Even so, I couldn't accept.
But look at this contract. We'll pay $5,000 on signing, yearly payments increasing annually, and totaling almost $1 million.
$1 million?
Yes, sir. Close to $1 million. Why, you could get away from this laboratory. Retire.
I don't want to retire. And I wouldn't be happy away from my laboratory.
Then think of what a laboratory you could have for $1 million.
Paid for by whom? By undernourished folk who must earn their daily bread by the sweat of their brow. It's a very generous offer, but of course I must refuse.
Refuse? But why?
Because once, many years ago, when I first started on the search for the vitamin, my old teacher, Dr. Babcock, told me something I've never forgotten. He said that a scientist couldn't think of himself as an individual. He is a servant of humanity. If my discovery is of any value, it belongs to the whole world, to mankind, not to me. So you see, that's why I can't sell it.
That's final, I suppose.
That's final.
I'm sorry. But before I go, Dr. Steenbach, I'd like to shake hands with you. With a man who'll turn down a cool million like that. I suppose there's nothing I can do to get your process before the public in the way you desire.
Well, you might see that a copy of your offer gets to the university. They haven't thought it worth patenting up to now. I'd like them to know what value the business world places on it.
Dr. Babcock is here whenever you're free. He says he'd like to...
Good day, then, Dr. Steenbach. It's been a pleasure and an honor, even if...
I'm sorry. I appreciate your courtesy. Come in.
I came right over, Harry. I just heard. But I see he's already been here. I just wanted to tell you, Harry, to do as you think best. I'll understand.
I did.
What did they give you?
They offered $1 million.
And you turned it down?
Well, of course.
I knew you would, Harry. I knew you would. But what do you propose to do now?
Patented myself. I suppose if I can scrape up $600, maybe some of the alumni will help. I'll assign the patent then to a non-profit corporation for the perpetual benefit of the public. That's all I want. That and a little realization on the part of some of the university's critics that we scientists occasionally come through with something. Earn our $3,000 a year.
Good boy, Harry. I'm proud of you.
Oh, say, did you ever see a finer family of rats than this? Fed on a diet that had killed the huskiest rat ever born. Only the stuff's all been irradiated.
Certainly look healthy.
They are. Listen. Listen to their hearts. As regular? Hear it, Doc? What do you hear, Doc?
What do I hear? What do I hear, Harry? I hear marching, Harry. Millions marching. Millions of people and children marching to health and vigor. Marching joyously in the sun.
Sun Magic was the sixth of a new series, Men Who Made America, prepared for the schools of the nation by the Ohio School of the Air and presented as an NBC educational feature. It was an original radio drama prepared by the radio workshops of the State Department of Education and Ohio State University under the direction of Meredith Page.